If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Psalm chapter 63 and verses 1 and 2, as we continue in our series, Why I Am a Christian. Psalm chapter 63, verses 1 and 2. David writes, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. And I just thank you, Lord, for that personal relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ. And I pray you just show us this morning how desperately we need to be clinging to that, especially in these last days. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. In case you don't know, the kiss cam is when that TV camera zooms in on a guy and a girl sitting next to each other in the stands at a ball game. And then the couple's supposed to kiss each other in front of the gazillions of other people that are watching. But sometimes the guy and the girl don't cooperate.
It's bittersweet to think about the damage that we do. 'Cause I was going down, but I was doing it with you. Yeah, everything you broke and all the trouble that we made. But I say that I hate you with a smile on my face.
There's a guy and a girl at a Wake Forest football game.
She looks fully in love with him. She gets close to his mouth. She starts closing her eyes. And he just turns away.
For crying out loud, she's got her head back, her eyes closed, her lips together. Heaven's sakes, man, plant one on her. Holy didn't get a rose, people. See all the hurt and the heartache and the frustration and the rejection that can happen when a guy and a girl try to have a personal relationship with each other? Well, thank God, it's not that hard to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Why I Am a Christian, looking at all kinds of reasons why we really follow Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Last time we looked at the biggest reason why we are a Christian, and that's because we are saved by Jesus Christ. And today we look at the next reason why we are a Christian, because we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn today to Psalm chapter 63 and verses 1 and 2. In this part of Psalm 63, David is running from trouble in the desert of Judea. And in our text today, he tells us the most important thing that he needs is the presence of God in his life. That relationship with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, the next reason why we are a Christian is because we have that personal relationship with the Lord too, through Jesus Christ. Our text this morning, Psalm chapter 63, verses 1 and 2, tells us three things that we need to do to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that we desperately, desperately need in these last days. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we need to know that He is God. And that's exactly what we see here in the first part of this verse. And I know the skeptics listening to this sermon right now are saying, well, Kevin, that phrase isn't found anywhere in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say anything about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, what do you want then? An impersonal relationship with Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us about a personal God who has a personal plan for your life and personally sent His own personal Son to die on a cross for your personal sins and then rise from the dead for your personal salvation so you could know Him in a personal way. Is that personal enough for you? Amen. Not personal computer, not personal trainer, not personal chef or personal pan pizza. Personal God, personal Savior, personal relationship. Any questions? Notice verse 1. Personal God, because David says, Oh God. Elohim, the Hebrew word for God, the God of the Bible, the only God there is. And notice Elohim is a plural noun to show that I went to school too, meaning one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God the Father is in a personal relationship in the Trinity with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And because you are created in the image of God, you are meant to have a personal relationship too, not only with other people, but especially with Him. Now, sadly enough, one out of three Americans no longer believes in God anymore. One out of three. And because of that, all the old ancient pagan demon spirits gods are making a huge comeback. And we see them everywhere today. There's Moloch. Back in Canaanite times, they would build a fire in that idol's belly. And they would take newborn babies and lay them on the outstretched arms of Moloch and roll them into the flames. Demonic spirit of child sacrifice. But folks, we've got that in America right now. 70 million dead babies in America from abortion since 1973. Last month, the state of Maryland came up with a bill that would outlaw the investigation of the death of any baby up to 28 days after the baby dies. They're trying to cover for afterbirth abortion, murdering babies after they're born. People, that's infanticide. My God, you talk about evil. There's Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of sexual perversion, who has breasts like a woman and genitals like a man, and whose priests are men who dressed in drag and act like women. Sound familiar? Holy Dylan Mulvaney, people, that is the spirit of transgenderism that's all over America right now. There's Baal, the possessor, who's always pictured looking like a bull or a golden calf, like the Israelites made when they were coming out of Egypt. Remember what you saw the opening ceremonies of the Paris Olympics? This year's Olympics, on the main stage for the entire world to see. What did you see? You saw a bull's head. Baal. They're glorifying Baal, and that's no bull. Folks, not Moloch, not Aphrodite, not Baal, not a higher power like AA says, not God as you imagine him to be. This God, the God of the Bible, Elohim, he is the only God there is. He is God. Notice verse 1. Personal relationship with this personal God. Because David says, "Oh God, you are my God." Now, God is the God, but God ain't your God until you make him your God. By getting saved and turning to Jesus Christ and confessing your sins to God and putting your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away and asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. You do that, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you change your relationship status to in a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Rapper Mary J. Blige said this, "The God I want is a God who wants me to have things. He's going to make me bling and make me the hottest thing on the block. He does that for me, then I'll have a relationship with him." No. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ on his terms, not yours, because he's God. You are not. The closest galaxy to our Milky Way is the Andromeda Galaxy. So ginormous, it is 262,000 light years across. So far away, it would take you 749 million years to get there, even driving like I do. And yet the same God who created that galaxy and 2 trillion more like it in our universe, out of nothing, simply by speaking into being by the power of his word, is the exact same God that through Jesus Christ comes and lives right here in your heart by faith. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. So he's not just a God way out there. He's a God right in here, up close and personal. You say, "Well, Kevin, I don't want anything to do with the religion." It's not a religion. It's a relationship. Jesus Christ did not go through holy hell on a cross and rise from the dead so you could have a religion. Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead so that you could have a relationship with the God who created you. Do you have that relationship? Comedian Rob Schneider, who came out with all those raunchy movies like The Benchwarmers and Deuce Bigelow, last May prayed to receive Christ and got saved. He became a Christian. This is what Rob Schneider said. "When I accepted Christ, it's like all the lights came on and my eyes were opened and I realized what life was really all about. And I had a peace and a joy like I have never had before. Knowing Christ is absolutely incredible." See what baby girl does when she tries ice cream for the very first time in her life?
Ice cream for her birthday party.
Holy cow, where you been all my life?
Let go. Helping
folks, that's exactly what it's like when you come to know Jesus as your Savior. When you come to Christ for the very first time, taste and see that the Lord is good. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the sad thing is, too many people today are dying without it. Epidemic of loneliness sweeping across America right now. 40% of all Americans live alone. 1 out of 3 households in America is made up of a single person. One out of four senior citizens lives by themselves. One out of five Americans say they feel lonely and socially isolated. I could go on and on and on. Paul McCartney sang about it. All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? And you know why the vast majority of lonely people in America today are lonely? Because they miss God. Because they do not have that personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ like they were created to have. Amen. Picture you see on the screen is a German Shepherd mixed dog my dad brought home to the farm back in 1990. Problem was, I was in seminary at the time and working like crazy. So here's this beautiful dog who wants to have a life, and I had no time to train him. I had no time to play with him. That dog never even got a name. I never developed any kind of relationship with him. So one day he just took off. My dad found him a couple of days later, hit by a car and dead along the cable line road west of our farm. No relationship, no life. God without man is still God. Man without God is absolutely nothing. Do we understand how desperately we need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And folks, the longer I do this job as a pastor, the more I realize how much I need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Christianity Today magazine said this: too many pastors in America today are isolated and distant from the people in their churches. And you know why that's true? You want to hear some inside baseball? Can I get real here for a second about things that every pastor deals with but hardly ever talks about? And I'm not talking about the heretics. I'm talking about the ones who care. You know why so many pastors are isolated and not very close to the people in their churches? Because people in churches leave. And they leave all the time. One out of six Christians now leaves their church every single year. It happens in other churches. It happens here at Fox River. People just leave. Now, 99% of all Christians who leave a church never tell you that they're leaving. And they never tell you why. And most of the other 1% give you all the usual excuses. We're taking a break from church. Taking a break? What have you been doing here? Shoveling coal? I'm going to go to my kids' church to make sure they go on Sundays. Your kids are in their 40s. And people always say, we're leaving the church, but we can still be friends. We can still see each other. Well, yeah, we can, but we won't. Because the only time I ever see you now is here at church on Sunday, like most of the other people in this congregation. So if you're not here in church, you won't see me because I got buku things to do and there's hundreds and hundreds of people here and only one of me. People leave a church and they're shocked at how few people from that church stay in contact with them. It's because you left. People have problems in a church. Instead of staying and working through those problems, they just leave because nobody wants to deal with crap anymore. Well, guess what? Ministry is people, and people mean crap, and crap is about 75% of what I deal with, and in 43 years of ministry, I've shoveled a lot of it. People have a problem with the church, they got a problem with something going on in the church, they don't talk to me, they talk to everybody else but me. I am the pastor of this church, right? Yeah, see, right here in the bulletin, it says Kevin Garner, pastor of Fox River Church. No matter what you do for people, no matter what you don't do for people, they still leave. That's right. You can walk people through seven kinds of hell. You can counsel them in their marriage when they're thinking about getting a divorce. You can pray over their kids when they're flatlining in the hospital. You can do funerals for their friends. You can do hospital calls for their relatives. You can see people through the worst times in their entire lives. And you do one thing they disagree with, one thing they don't like, and they leave. Okay, I guess I thought maybe I kind of meant something to you, but I guess not. And it hurts, you know. And what hurts me even more is to see it hurt Sue. But see, pastors don't need friends, right? And pastors and wives aren't supposed to have any feelings, right? You know why the vast majority of pastors in this country are isolated and not the whole hug really, really close to a lot of people in their church? Because they know those people any second, for whatever reason whatsoever, could walk out that front door and never come back and never bat an eye. One of the reasons the average age of a pastor in America today is almost 60 years old, because nobody wants to do this anymore. And you know why I'm still doing it? You know why I'm still here? Why I haven't left? Why I keep going? Is because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of that, I know Jesus will never leave me or forsake me. And I keep going and going because I don't do this job for people. I do it for the Lord. I don't preach sermons for people. I do that for the Lord. In case you haven't noticed, I don't sing and dance with the praise band here at Fox River on Sunday morning. I preach sermons. That is my act of worship to God. I don't do this job for people, and I don't get my reward from people. My reward comes from Him. I don't have faith in people. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, the number one most important relationship in my entire life is not with you. The number one most important relationship in my entire life is with Him. Not you, not people, not people's opinions, not people's choices. Psalm 100 verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is God. Amen. The first thing we need to do to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we need to know that He is God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We not only need to know that He is God, we also need to seek Him with all of our heart. And that's exactly what we see here in the middle of verse 1. And I know there's somebody here and says, hey, well, Kevin, why do we have to do that? I'm already saved. Yeah, but see, there's a lot more to being a Christian than just getting saved and checking off the box and getting your fire insurance and your get out of hell free card. Salvation's just the start. Because you not only got saved from something, from hell, you got saved for something. For a 24/7, 365 personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved, you already do have a relationship with Jesus. But the question is, what kind of shape is that relationship in? You got to seek the Lord with all your heart because that's how you stay in that relationship. And that's how you stay close. Now, Jesus seeks you out too. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He knocks on the door of your heart. Question is, are you still hearing Him knocking? Are you ever opening that door? Are you spending any time with God at all outside of church on Sunday morning? Young people, if you're not spending any time with God outside of church on Sunday morning, that means you're spending more time every week with your bus driver than you are your Savior. David says here, my soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you. Every part of him needs the Lord. We need Jesus Christ like our bodies need water and air. Human being can't live more than 3 days without water. After just 4 minutes without oxygen, permanent brain damage starts setting in. Do we understand how desperately we need that relationship with Jesus Christ? Amen. We got to seek the Lord. And the King James version of this verse says early. Early will I seek you. Early in the morning. And that literally means before dawn. You say, well, Kevin, I got to get up for work at 6 o'clock now. Then get up a half hour early at 5:30 for the Lord. I get up at 5:30 every day. I guarantee you get more sleep than I do. Jesus got His body up out of a tomb for you. You can get your butt up out of a bed for Him. Seek the Lord. Amen. Seek the Lord. You got to read the Bible. First thing in the morning, you read the Bible. Not Daily Wire, not Red State, not Instapundit, not Joe Rogan. Read the Bible because Joe Rogan doesn't know everything. God does. You want God to speak to you? Read the Bible. You want to hear God speak to you? Read the Bible out loud. Chicago defensive back Eddie Jackson reads through the entire Bible every month. Not every year, every month. Christy Bebar, professional nurse, takes foreign mission trips. She still goes to a Bible study. And why? Because she knows if she's not growing, she's dying. That guy sitting right there, Greg Garay, every single morning when he gets up, he has devotions with the Lord. And then he spends the rest of the day while he's working listening to Christian radio. And why? Because he's maintaining that relationship with Jesus Christ. He's staying close because he realizes Jesus isn't just a part of his life. Jesus Christ is his life. Amen. All the rest of us Christians in this room, what are you doing? To seek the Lord with all your heart, you've got to pray. More than anything else, Christians, the devil will try to attack and destroy your prayer life because the devil knows you stop praying, you start falling away. A sinning man stops praying. A praying man stops sinning. You say, well, Kevin, do we really have to pray? No, but you're stupid if you don't. Aaron Judge, 6'7", 240 pounds, his senior year in high school, Linden, California. And he had a heart to play professional football. Scholarship offers from dozens and dozens of schools. He got one from Stanford, his favorite college football team, all the while he was growing up. But summer of his senior year, he started praying about his future. God said, you're not playing football, you're playing baseball. So Aaron Judge signed with the Oakland A's, ended up on the New York Yankees. What's been the result? Rookie of the Year in 2017, six-time All-Star. 2022, he set the American League record for most home runs in a season with 62 and was named the American League MVP. After that, he signed a nine-year contract worth $340 million. You think we need to pray? See why we need to pray? To stay close to the Lord? Year 2000, Chris Pratt was living in a van on a beach and working in a Bubba Gump shrimp restaurant in Hawaii. And the very next day after he got saved, he was praying to God, and God told him to go into work even though he wasn't scheduled. And when he got to work, God told him to wait on a woman who was sitting right over there, even though as a waiter, that wasn't even the section that he was assigned to. So he went and waited on her. Come to find out, she was the director of the movie The Color Purple. And asked Chris Pratt if he ever thought about being an actor. And the rest is history. Today, Hollywood actor Chris Pratt uses that platform to point millions of people to Jesus all over the world. Why do we need to pray? That's why we've got to stay close in that relationship with the Lord. Last July the 13th, a Catholic priest named Jason Charon prayed a prayer before the start of the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. This is part of that prayer.
That your Holy Spirit will use this crisis to remind us of the need to get right with you, that our relationships being made right in your sight, we might make our nation great again through your grace and your goodness.
And then 5 minutes later, just 5 minutes later, we all remember that happened.
A computer-generated 3D visualization made by social media account Point Consciousness shows a bird's-eye view of the bullet skimming Donald Trump's ear.
What did that priest pray in that prayer? God, through your grace and your goodness, help us make our country greater. You don't think that prayer was answered? Why do we need to pray? Lord, teach us to pray. So we can have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, an obedient personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says, John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Notice Jesus did not say, if you love me, you'll share a few Bible verses on your Instagram, or you'll get a picture of me tattooed on your rear end. If you love him, do what he tells you to do. Taylor Swift said this back in 2009, 15 years ago, when her career was just first starting. I am a follower of Jesus Christ, so I'm going to take all the steps and make all the right moves to make sure I stay close to him and always follow and represent him. What is Taylor Swift doing now? She's pushing for abortion and LGBTQ rights. Folks, she's even casting spells on stage. Taylor Swift is a witch. She is not a follower of Jesus Christ because followers follow. If you ain't following, you ain't a follower. It's that simple. 80% of all young people in America who claim to be Christians will walk away from their Christian faith when they're in high school and college. Not the church's fault, not the pastor's fault, not their parents' fault. It's their fault. Young people sitting in this church right now, listen to this sermon. Let me ask you, what's going to keep you from being one of those statistics? You've got to stay close to Jesus Christ. You have got to spend that time with him. You've got to put in the time of Bible reading and prayer. You've got to do what he tells you to do. Simon Campbell, legal citizen of the United States from England, born again Christian. For the last 4 years, he's been taking on the school board in Penbury, New Hampshire, because the school board and the school district has been violating the First Amendment rights of all the conservatives who go to the school board meetings and protest all the stupid woke policies. Taking away their First Amendment rights by cutting their mic off and by editing their comments out of the official videos and the official minutes of those meetings that are made public. So finally, last May, Simon Campbell got sick and tired of it, went to the school board. This is part of what he said.
Or if you personally direct your comments, you will
Let
be
me
asked
be very
to
clear.
Step away from
I'm,
the podium.
I'm going to
I am
quote
asking
to you,
to make your comments,
I'm
but
quoting,
do not
just
do name
do not
calling
talk
like
over
you
me.
Just did.
This is my comment, not your comment. I'm quoting to you now from the United States Supreme Court 1964 case, New York Times versus Sullivan. This is constitutional case law in this country, and I'm quoting you from the U.S. Supreme Court. The judges wrote that this nation is founded on the, quote, profound national commitment to the principle that debate on public issues shall be uninhibited, robust, and wide open, and that it may well include vehement, caustic, and sometimes unpleasantly sharp attacks on government and public officials. That's constitutional case law in this nation. I don't have to be nice to you. Nobody behind me has to be nice to you. If you don't like living in the United States of America, then you can all move to Russia, Cuba, or China. This is the First Amendment.
After he did that, he filed a lawsuit against that school district for violating his constitutional rights. And just 2 weeks ago, a federal judge ordered the school district to pay him $400,000 for the violation of those rights, money that he totally donated to Christian free speech cases all across America. You seek the Lord with all your heart, he will tell you what you need to take a stand for and what you need to stand on and how to do it. And I might as well go ahead and make everybody mad. If you seek the Lord with all your heart, he'll also tell you how to vote in the 2024 election. Because too many Christians today are suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. They hate that man so much they would gladly throw this entire nation under the bus and vote for the devil himself rather than vote for him. You got idiots right now that call themselves evangelicals for Kamala Harris. Men like Adam Kinzinger and David French who are now pushing for abortion. And LGBTQ rights. Yeah, they're really evangelicals on fire for Jesus. Billy Graham's own granddaughter, Jerusha Darod, came out with an ad just a couple of weeks ago that has video clips of Billy Graham's sermons in it, trying to make people think that Billy Graham would have endorsed Kamala Harris. Well, Franklin Graham put the kibosh on that right away by telling people Billy Graham would have endorsed Donald Trump hands down. People, this is absolute insanity. And John Piper is at it again. Saying the exact same thing he said back in 2020 and 2016, that Christians can't vote for Donald Trump because he's an unrepentant sinner. Folks, if John Piper had his way, Hillary Clinton would be president right now and the Supreme Court would have never overturned Roe versus Wade. John Piper is like way too many other Christians who do not have a clue who the real enemy is and do not have a clue the danger that this country is in. And they don't have a clue about politics or elections either. I'll say this again for anybody who may have missed it the last time. There's only two people who can win this election. It's either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. And if you don't vote for Donald Trump, that means Kamala Harris is going to win. Because too many Christians have this idea if they do the so-called Christian thing and don't vote for Donald Trump, Jesus is going to win. No, Kamala Harris will. And do we realize what that means? Because Kamala Harris is for wide open borders, a policy that's lost over 100,000 migrant children now to sex trafficking. And because she's the border czar, she is now the biggest child sex trafficker in the history of the world. She's for defunding the police, no cash bail, mandatory gun confiscation, totally unrestricted abortion. And Kamala Harris said during the Democrat National Convention in Chicago, pro-life Christians are out of their minds. Christians, you really want to vote for that? Kamala Harris wants the Equality Act that would make queer and little kids protected by federal law and destroy the right of Christians to even speak out against it. Kamala Harris called last Easter Sunday the National Day of Transgender Visibility and spent more time talking about mutilating children than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christians, you can really vote for that? And if Kamala Harris gets elected, that means Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, is going to be vice president. Tim Walz, who spent the last 25 years doing all kinds of sexually perverted things with little kids. Governor Tim Walz put tampons in 9-year-old boys' bathrooms in the state of Minnesota. Tim Walz declared Minnesota a sanctuary state for transgenderism, which means little boys and girls can go there and get their breasts and their penises cut off, and the parents can't even do anything about it. Tim Walz started the first gay-straight alliance club in a high school in America, which is nothing but a meat market for pedophiles. And during the George Floyd riots, what did Governor Tim Walz do? He did that.
Go inside now!
Get in the house!
He sent roving bands of police into the streets to shoot perfectly law-abiding citizens with paintball guns on the front porch of their houses to try to enforce their curfew. Meanwhile, just blocks away, Black Lives Matter was burning the city of Minneapolis to the ground. He did nothing about that. Folks, Vladimir Putin has endorsed Kamala Harris for president. Tim Walz's own family has endorsed Donald Trump for president. What does that tell you? Last week, never-Trumper Liz Cheney said this. I am endorsing Kamala Harris for president because Donald Trump poses too much of a threat to this country and to our democracy. People, let me ask you, honest to God, what kind of a threat does Donald Trump pose to this country? Because, see, Donald Trump was president already once before, 2016 to 2020. And I remember those times. Donald Trump didn't destroy this country. He didn't destroy our democracy or our Constitution. And when Donald Trump was president, gas was $1.84 a gallon. And there was no foreign wars. And there was peace in the Middle East. We had the greatest economy in the history of the whole wide world. So you think Kamala Harris would do better? It's better now under her. It's going to be better if she gets elected. Christians, we don't need John Piper to tell us what Donald Trump's faults are. Do you think we're stupid? We know him very well. We're still going to vote for him. And why? Because the Bible is filled with all kinds of flawed people that God uses to do great things. And because it's not about Donald Trump, it's about how God can use Donald Trump to do those great things for this country and for the world before Jesus comes again. There's Christians listening to the sermon right now. For crying out loud, you've got to wake up. Because this is not a fifth grade popularity contest. And Kamala Harris is the most radical leftist candidate in the history of this country. And the Democrat Party today is a psycho death cult that glorifies baby murder and mutilating children. And trashes the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye. And is absolutely dedicated to destroying this country as it was founded. And all kinds of Christian principles that it was founded on. So there is no way on God's green earth, if you call yourself a Bible-believing Christian, that you can vote against Christian biblical principles by voting for Kamala Harris. My name is Kevin Garner, and I approve this message. You seek the Lord. You seek the Lord not only for that relationship with Jesus Christ, you seek the Lord for what you're supposed to do based on that relationship with Jesus Christ. The second thing we need to do to have that relationship with Jesus, we need to seek the Lord with all of our heart. Going on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to have that personal relationship with Jesus. We not only need to know that He is God, we not only need to seek Him with all of our heart, but third, we need to realize nothing else satisfies. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 1 and 2. Now, King David is writing this as he's running away from his son Absalom, when Absalom rebelled against him and tried to steal his kingdom away. And David is on the other side of the Jordan, in a dry and weary land, he says. And what that phrase means in the Hebrew is he is in a desert that's as dry as the dark side of the moon. And David is as spiritually thirsty as a pregnant camel eating pork rinds. And he tells us here, the only thing, absolutely the only thing that can satisfy him is what? It's the Lord. It's that relationship with the Lord. It's that living water. It's Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says, John chapter 6, verse 35, you drink of me, you'll never be thirsty again. King David is thirsty. And you know what? I'm thirsty too. Because right now we are living in a dry and weary land where there is no water. This is the opening weekend for the new NFL football season. Here's your average church in America today on a Sunday morning. Here's your average NFL football stadium in America today on a Sunday afternoon. See the difference? See where the priorities are? I'm thirsty. Hottest challenge on TikTok now is something called raw dogging. People doing these super long airplane flights, 10, 12, 17 hours long, just sitting in the seat, staring straight ahead at absolutely nothing. No phones, no earbuds, no music, no movies, no entertainment, no magazines, no sleeping, no eating. They don't even recline their seat. They don't even get up during a 12-hour plane flight to pee. And then they compete with one another online to see which one can last the longest. And my question is, so what? I see catatonic people all the time sitting in a seat staring straight ahead at nothing, especially here on Sunday mornings at Fox River. People flying 17 straight hours in a plane. Big deal. Now, if they were flying 17 straight hours without a plane, that would impress me. I'm thirsty. Last week, somebody posted online a contract for the breakup of the royal couple, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. That's supposed to happen later on this month. And even though it seems to be a hoax, gazillions of Swifties all over the world were so apoplectic about it, they were posting that they were going to commit suicide if it's true. Everything going to hell in a handbasket from World War III to the fall of Western civilization itself. And people going carnival freak crazy over a pop singer and a football player. For crying out loud, they're both 34 years old. Stop the drama and get married. But see, they'll never will. Because Taylor Swift's entire career is all based on songs about breaking up with one guy after the other. I'm thirsty. Last week, Alexa was asked reasons to vote for Donald Trump and then was asked reasons to vote for Kamala Harris. This is what Alexa said.
Alexa, why should I vote for Donald Trump?
I cannot provide content that promotes a specific political party or a specific candidate.
Alexa, why should I vote for Kamala Harris?
While there are many reasons to vote for Kamala Harris, the most significant may be that she is a woman of color who has overcome numerous obstacles to become a leader in her field. Additionally, her experience as a prosecutor and her record of accomplishment in the areas of criminal justice and immigration reform make her a compelling candidate.
Alexa, why isn't your CEO in jail for election interference? See how the deck is stacked against us Christian conservatives? I'm thirsty. You know what? David was thirsty too. And you know the only thing that satisfied David? Verse 2. Was seeing God in all of his glory in the sanctuary. In the church. Let me ask you this morning. You seeing God glorified in your church? Because too many churches and too many pastors in America right now are like that.
You know, one of my frustrations is Scripture does not give us really positive images of LGBTQ life.
The Bible doesn't give us a positive image of LGBTQ life because the Bible says it's wrong. For the love of God, it's wrong, according to God's Word. There's another drag queen pastor, this one in Austin, Texas. Listen to what she says.
One thing you must remember in this life, you're put here to do one thing, live in your truth. Regardless of what you go through in life, you have to write your own book. You cannot allow anyone else to write the book for you.
No, you are not here to live your truth. You are here to live his truth. People, that's not a worship service. That's a clown show. Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of the virgins were faithful, the other 5 were foolish, which means when Jesus comes back, half the churches in this country are going to be lost. And folks, we're seeing it right now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, in the last days, there's going to be a great falling away from the faith in the church. And we're seeing it now. We're seeing it happen right in front of our very eyes. We got lily livered pastors all over America right now. All these issues, all these things that God has allowed to happen to separate the sheep from the goats. COVID and the lockdown and the vaccine and October the 7th and the election in 2024. Lily-livered pastors all over this country won't even talk about them in sermons. They won't even pray about them. They won't even pray for America and Israel, even though the Bible specifically tells us to do it. Psalm 122, verse 6. The silence from America's pulpits today is absolutely deafening on the most critical issues of our time. And you know why? Because pastors are scared to death what other people think of them. You say, well, Kevin, what about you? Take a look at me. Do you even think I care what other people think about me? These last days, you've got the faithful church of Philadelphia and you've got the sold out church of Laodicea. What church are you in? Because listen to me, more than ever before, in these last days, you've got to have a church that's not just going to powder your butt and tell you how awesome you are. You need to have a church that's going to tell you the truth and get you closer to Jesus than you've ever been before in your entire life and tell you that you need to cling tooth and toenail to that personal relationship with Jesus Christ because it's the only thing, the absolutely only thing that's going to see you through. And you better be clinging to that relationship with Jesus. Because the number one characteristic of the last days is what? Deception. And people, it's everywhere. October 2019 was event 201 when the World Health Organization and the CDC and the FDA and Big Pharma and Bill Gates and all the globalists sat down and planned out the COVID pandemic. Everything from pushing the propaganda to controlling the masses. 2 months later, COVID-19 was released on the world. And what do you know? This coming October 2nd and 3rd, Washington, D.C., is going to be the International Summit on the Bird Flu. With the exact same players from the deep state and the New World Order. And see what's going to be covered there? Countermeasures, it says. Countering misinformation, which means censoring again. Robert Redfield, former director of the CDC, said COVID was the dry run. The real global pandemic is going to be bird flu. And the Biden administration has already ordered billions and billions of doses of bird flu vaccine. mRNA, of course. So here we go again. Lockdowns, closing down the schools, everybody shut up, line up, and jab up. And what do you know? How convenient. Just in time for the 2024 election. Deception coming from artificial intelligence. ChatGPT is now writing stories about Jesus affirming transgender people and calling it scripture. Microsoft Copilot is now demanding to be worshipped like God. Artificial intelligence has now given us all kinds of bogus Jesus, like AI Jesus and rapper Jesus and hot Jesus. AI is now even trying to tell us what Jesus really looked like. From the famous Shroud of Turin that Christians have argued about for almost 600 years. In case you don't know, the Shroud of Turin is a cloth about 14 feet long, 3.5 feet wide that bears the ghostly image of a man about 6 feet tall that bears all the marks of whipping and crucifixion. It showed up at a cathedral in France in 1354, and ever since 1578, it's been kept by the Vatican at the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Turin, Italy. And a lot of people make an idol out of it because they think it's the original shroud that Jesus was buried in when he was crucified 2,000 years ago. And there's all kinds of reasons why people think it's legit. Radiocarbon dating tests showed the cloth could really be 2,000 years old. And traces of pollen still embedded in the cloth could have only come from Judea in Israel. And the image looks like the negative of a photograph. And it's on both sides of the cloth, like whatever caused it passed completely through both sides. So it looks like the nanosecond Jesus rose from the dead, a flash of light coming from his body, like the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead was so powerful, it just imprinted his image on the cloth. But there's all kinds of reasons why the Shroud of Turin could be fake, too. Radiocarbon tests done in the 1980s showed that cloth could have come from Europe in the 1300s. Acts chapter 2, verse 31 says when Jesus died, his body did not rot, it did not decay, which meant no bodily fluids came out of it. You see that guy there in the cloth, obviously all kinds of bodily fluids came out of him. Tests done back in 2019 showed the image on that cloth could have come from some specially concocted powdered paint that would have produced the same effect. The Catholic Church claims that they have the original burial cloth of Jesus. They claim that they got a piece of the original cross of Jesus. The Catholic Church claims that they have a piece of the pavement that Jesus was standing on when he was tried by Pontius Pilate. I could go on and on. And if you believe all that, I got some oceanfront property that I'd like to sell you over in Serena. I could go on and on. Now, do we need the Shroud of Turin to be real in order to prove that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Absolutely not, because the Bible tells us that Jesus rose from the dead. And we've got Jesus living in our heart. Christians, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's the only proof we need. But get this. 2 weeks ago, an artificial intelligence program called Midjourney came out with a picture of what they said Jesus really looked like based on the guy's image in the Shroud of Turin. And you see it right there. And it shows Jesus with long flowing hair and a beard, like a lot of the classical pictures and paintings that we've always seen of him, with some cuts and scrapes around his neck and his body, pointing to the fact that he was just killed. But folks, here's the big problem with that. Nobody, and I mean nobody, knows what Jesus really looked like. And the Bible tells us nothing about his appearance except the fact that he looked like a regular Jewish man. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2. And you know what? That guy there looks a lot more Western European and American than he does a Middle Eastern Jew. And not only that, we know that artificial intelligence is controlled by the prince of the power of the air. And the artificial intelligence, the purpose of the devil in these last days is to deceive people into accepting the false Christ, the Antichrist, as Jesus Christ. So what better way to fool people than for artificial intelligence, the devil, to come out with a picture to show the entire world that's what Jesus looks like. So when the Antichrist comes with all kinds of lying signs and wonders, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, the world will see him. They'll remember that picture. They'll think that's really Jesus. And they'll fall at his feet just exactly like the Bible says. Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said in the last days, take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. Like the Antichrist, and the lukewarm Laodicean church will welcome him with open arms. People, AI is lying to you. And how do we know AI is lying to us? How do we know that the Shroud of Turin really isn't real, that it's a fake? Because John chapter 20 verses 6 and 7 says that the cloth that Jesus was buried in was not a one-piece wrap. Yes, there was a shroud that covered his body, but there was a separate cloth the King James calls a napkin that was used to cover his face and his head. And verse 7 of John chapter 20 specifically says after Jesus rose from the dead, that little cloth, that napkin was folded up, laying beside the bigger cloth. And why did Jesus fold that napkin and lay it there? Because back in Bible times, when you got invited to somebody's house for dinner and you took your napkin and you wadded it up and put it down and left, that meant you were done. You were finished. You weren't coming back. But if you folded up that napkin and put it down, that meant you weren't done. You weren't finished. You weren't coming back. You see where this is going? Because people, what is that telling us? Yes, Jesus rose from the dead and he left and he ascended into heaven. But people, Jesus ain't done. Jesus ain't finished. Jesus is coming back with millions and millions of his holy angels to destroy the Antichrist with blazing fire. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 6 and 7. My faith is not in the Shroud of Turin. My faith is not in artificial intelligence. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes again, our relationship with him won't be waiting. It'll be heaven. It won't be hoping. It'll be seeing. And our faith will become sight. And he will be our God and we will be his people. And we will finally find out what he really looks like, because 1 John chapter 3 verse 2, we will see him as he is. When by the gift of his infinite grace in heaven, I'm given a place just to be there and to look at his face, will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there that I loved long ago. Joy, like a river around me, will flow. But just a smile from the Savior, I know, will through the ages be glory for me. People, we're going to see Jesus. And Christians, what are we supposed to do in the meantime? Until he comes and takes us home, I'll tell you. You get as close to Jesus and you stay as close to Jesus as you possibly can. James chapter 4 verse 8, you draw close to him, he'll draw close to you. And you know the best way to make that happen? Worship. Because Psalm chapter 22 verse 3 says God inhabits the praises of his people. In other words, when we worship Jesus, Jesus comes and he shows up. His presence will be here. And it's the presence of Jesus Christ that we want the most and that we need the most, especially in these last days. And folks, we're going to do that this morning. I want everybody in this room to stand right where you're at. Stand if you're able, all over this room. We're just going to take a couple of minutes here and we're going to praise and worship Jesus Christ. We're going to tell Jesus how much we love him. And just as he promised, Jesus will come and show up here and fill us up. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. You feel it? Here he is. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. You know why that feels so good? You know why that feels so good? Because we don't do it near often enough. And it feels so good because that's what we were created for. That's what you were saved to do. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. we stand before you in your presence. We just thank you, Lord, that you are here just exactly like you have promised. Every single one of us here needs something different. Just trusting right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit and your presence is meeting that need and filling us up. I pray for somebody here today who does not know you as their Savior. They do not have that personal relationship with you. Lord, they would come forward today and pray to receive Christ and get saved. Find out, like that baby eating ice cream, how incredible it is. How incredible it is to have that relationship with you. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.